Now, if you've been praying a prayer, if you've been shedding tears, if you've been bringing your gifts, if you've been using your faith, I want you to hear the word of the Lord. It's now a season of harvest. Years ago, I filled out a form with some kind of class action lawsuit, whatever, that you're supposed to get a check. I forgot that I filled out the form. And months later, I got a check and I couldn't even remember, what is this for? And the Lord has reminded me, you have prayed prayers that you've even forgotten about. Not only does God know the prayer that you're praying today, but for years and years and years, you have prayed prayers, you have sown your giving, you have sown prayers, you have shed the tears. And I caught every tear, the Lord says. And I held it. And even if you forget what you've asked me to do, I will never forget. There is a season and there is a time. And the Lord is saying, now is a time of harvest for my people. Do not be surprised by the blessings that are released in this harvest. For you will say, I forgot I even asked for that. But I did not forget, says the Lord, because I am a faithful God. I have recorded your prayers. I have captured your tears, and I am blessing you in this season. So get ready for the good things that I have for you, says the Lord. Life is not always pain. Life is not always sorrow. Some days, some seasons are moments of blessing. Take your blessing and step into it, says the Lord your God. Hallelujah. If you need that word from God, say amen. Hallelujah. Be seated, everybody. Thank you, worship team. So great to be together. So great to be together in God's house. Hallelujah. We've been talking about the importance of saying to our friends and family members, let's go. Everybody say, let's go. And today I want to share a little bit more on that subject about how to share your faith with your family and friends. Let's go to God's house. Let's go to where Jesus is, let's go to a better place. You know what leadership is? Just taking people to a better place. And every one of you are leaders, and every one of you has been called to be a positive influence on the lives of people. Let me give you three verses that say, let's go, just in case you want to tie this into what the Bible says. How precious. These are verses that we've looked at for the last few weeks, but Psalms 36, verse 7 says, how precious is your unfailing love, O God. All humanity finds shelter in the shadow of your wings. All humanity. You feed them, people that love you and people that don't. You feed them from the abundance of your what? Your own house, letting them drink from your river of delights, God's house. Wherever God is, wherever he's working, wherever Jesus is, that's where people need to be. And the reason is that Psalm 122, God's house is such a great place. People will say, I was glad when they said to me, let's go. Everybody say, let's go. I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. And one more verse. There are many. I could give you so many verses about the blessing of being where God is. Many nations will say, come, let's go. Let's go up to the Lord's mountain, to the house of Jacob's God, so that he may teach us his ways and we may walk in God's paths. Now, these are Old Testament scriptures concerning the beauty of being in God's presence, which was at that time located in a house of worship. Now that we are in New Testament times, the house, the concrete, the building is not the main thing. It's the gathering of God's people. But the point is that there are some things that only happen when we come together and we hear God's word. That is the place of blessing. That is where the Lord will teach us his ways and minister to us. And so bringing our family and friends and people and inviting them and saying, let's go to God's house. Let's go find Christ. Let's get closer to God. This is all so important. I want to share, I'm going to go off script just a little bit this morning. I know I've got some things written down here in front of me that are important, and you've got your teaching outline, but if you would, can you just go with me to the 73rd Psalm? Because God gave this to me prophetically for you. Some of you come in to this room today, or you're watching online, you're in the cafe, hundreds and hundreds of people watching, and you're in pain, you're in a place of sorrow, you're struggling in your life, and God wants you to know that you're in the right place and that He understands. Psalms 73. Truly, God is good. Truly, God is good. I said, truly, God is good. Can I have an amen? To those whose hearts are pure. But as for me, I came so close to the edge of the cliff. My feet were slipping, and I was almost gone. That word gone, that's where the enemy wants some of you. He wants you gone. He doesn't want you discouraged. He doesn't want you depressed, although there's probably a dozen people or more in this room right now that are struggling with depression and sorrow and sadness. I break that thing in the name of Jesus right now. But the enemy doesn't want to just make you sad. He wants you gone because he's a thief and he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And if you're human, you know what this feeling is. My feet were slipping and I was almost gone. For I envied the proud when I saw them prosper despite their wickedness. They seem to live such painless lives, their bodies so healthy and strong. The psalmist is struggling because, and have you ever struggled this way? Because you're having a hard time in your life and it seems like other people that aren't even trying to please God, seems like they've got it easy. People that got the promotion you wanted, people who got the house you wanted, people that got the life that, and you wake up and you struggle with pain and you struggle with sorrow. And this is where the psalmist was. And he was in confusion. And listen, this struggle is real because we look and we see, why does bad things happen to good people? And why do good things happen to bad people? And this was the struggle. I envied the proud when I saw them prosper despite their wickedness. They seem to live such a painless life. Their bodies so healthy and strong. They aren't troubled like other people or plagued with problems like everyone else. They wear pride like a jeweled necklace. And he goes on, he calls them fat cats, and he's struggling with the difference between how his life is going. When he has the promises of God and the goodness of God, he believes in prayer and he believes in faith and he believes in honoring the Lord, and yet he's still struggling. Does it ever get better? Does God see what's going on? Is it worth it? Verse 14, this is prophetic to some of you. All I get is trouble all day long. Every morning brings me pain. There are some people in this room that's your story today. Every single day is painful. It hurts. I want to give you hope today. I want to share something that I think will help you. God sees your pain. If I had really spoken this way, I would be a traitor to your people. So I tried to understand why the wicked prosper. But what a difficult task is. Verse 17, this is the turning point in the psalm. Then one day, I went where, everybody? That was the turning point. That was when everything started to make sense. Then I finally understood. You can carry your burden. You can carry your sorrow. You can be in such pain. And there's something about coming to God's house, stepping into an environment of faith, stepping into a place where we're singing like we sang today, where the word of God is being preached, where the spirit of God is strong. And then it just puts it all into perspective. There is something about God's sanctuary. Can I have an amen? There's something about his presence, which is accessible to you in your car, in your, wherever you are, in your living room, in your backyard. You step into that sanctuary of God's presence, and then he gives you his perspective on your life. And pretty soon, that life that was filled with pain, angry, frustrated about how life is, God, I can't believe these people are getting all the praise. I can't believe these people are doing so well. How is it that these people got into office? How is it? How is it, Lord? I don't like it. And then you come into God's house. And I thought about, he said, the destiny of the wicked. Truly, you put them on a slippery path. I thought I was the one ready to slip. But he says, you put them on a slippery path and send them sliding over a cliff to destruction. In an instant, they are destroyed, swept away by terrors. Their present life is only a dream that is gone when they awake. When you arise, O Lord, you will make them vanish from this life. Then I realized, verse 21, that my heart was bitter. This stuff was getting to me, he said. The way it was going for people I don't like, it was getting to me. The way they abandoned me, the way they treated me, it was getting to me. And I was the one with the bitterness and I was the one with the problem. I was critical of them, but truly I was the person that needed to change. I saw something about myself when I went into God's house. I realized how bitter I had become, how pained I had been by everything. I was so foolish and ignorant. I must have seemed like a senseless animal to you, O God. Yet, despite all this, can you read this with me? Yet, what? I still belong to you. You hold. The penny drops for the psalmist. I get it, he said. The wicked don't have you. Lord, the wicked don't, but I have you. I have pain every day. I have trouble. I'm struggling in my marriage. I'm struggling in my work life. It's not easy for me. I'm a single father. I'm a single mother. I'm struggling. And yet, God, I have you. And here's the word of the Lord to you. If you have the Lord, you have everything you need. Don't compare yourself to anybody else. It's just making you sick. You look at what somebody else has or how they're doing or what, but you're the one that's actually blessed because you have him and you belong to God and he loves you. And he cares about what's going on in your life today, right now. He loves you and he sees what the struggle is and he sees the pain. And there's healing in that. There's healing in that. You can see the psalmist is getting better. He's coming out of the depression. You are holding my right hand. You will keep on guiding me with your counsel, leading me to a glorious destiny. Come on, somebody. There's good days ahead for you. Whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you. Lord, I desire you more than anything on earth. My health may fail, and my spirit may grow weak, but here's what will never change. God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. But for those who desert him will perish, for you destroy those who abandon you. But as for me, how good it is to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my shelter. And watch this. I will tell everyone about the wonderful things you do. He goes from discouragement to feeling his heart is so full, not only is he healed, he wants to share the good news with other people. I want to pray right now because I know there are people, just bow your heads right now, everybody. I think the Holy Spirit just wants to touch some people in this room. There are people in this room, I know it, and I know it in my heart, that are wrestling with depression, discouragement. You feel so defeated. You feel so sad. But I believe today God is going to help you and lift you up and begin to talk to you about your future. And he's going to bring you to a place where all you can do is say, how can I tell somebody else what God has done for me? Lord, I pray for the discouraged. I pray for the hurting today. I pray for people that came into this room supernaturally bound, supernaturally exhausted, supernaturally tired and sad. I break the power of that in Jesus' name. I thank you for your life-giving Holy Spirit and breaking every chain, Lord, on people's hearts and minds. Thank you for bringing us to this place. We don't have yesterday. We can't cry about yesterday anymore. And tomorrow hasn't come yet. It's not ours. What we have is right now. And we receive your love and your grace and your power to help us right now. And for those that are in physical pain this morning, I pray a mighty healing miracle fill their lives, Lord. Would you lift them out of the pit of discouragement and symptoms and free them, Lord? Do this, Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Then I went into the house of God. Then I went into the sanctuary. And that's where I understood. Now, we're in this series talking about the beauty of God's house and bringing people to God's house and sharing our faith with other people. So let me talk to you for a few minutes. You've got your teaching outline here. I'm back on track now. I know what I'm I know what I'm preaching. I did know what I was preaching, but now I'm back on script. Let me say that. Acts chapter 4, verse 18. Today I want to share with you how to share your faith with your friends. Come with me for 20 minutes and let's learn how to share our faith with our friends. Our scripture is Acts 4, 18 and 19. So they called the apostles back in and commanded them and never to speak again or teach the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him?" And then they said these words, "We cannot stop telling about everything that we have seen and heard." We cannot stop telling about everything that we have seen and heard. What's the scene here? This is a story from the book of Acts, and you remember that Jesus came. By this point, Jesus had died on the cross, 3 days in the grave, and he had risen again. That's what Resurrection Sunday is all about. We're celebrating this Sunday. But after he ascended to heaven, he gave a great commission to his disciples. He sent the power of the Holy Spirit, and he said, "Tell everybody what I've taught you and share the good news." And so they began to do that, and they did it in the power of the Holy Spirit, and miracles broke out. People's lives were being changed. But the religious establishment didn't like it. They were talking about Jesus, and the Sadducees and the leaders of the Jewish faith were persecuting the people of God, saying, "Don't you talk about Jesus anymore." And the leaders of that day said, "Do you want us to obey you, or do you want us to obey Jesus? Because we can't stop talking about what we have seen." How many of you know that's how it should be? First of all, the enemy wants you to close your mouth. The enemy wants to shut your mouth down. You can talk about anything you want in this world these days, but if you talk about Jesus, there's something wrong with you. How many have noticed that? The enemy doesn't want you talking about the good things that God has done. He doesn't want you sharing your faith with anybody, but God wants you to share. He wants you to open your mouth. And the reason you have to share is because you've seen too much and you've experienced too much of God. Let me ask you this important question. What have you seen God do in your life? What has he done for you? I have my own story, what God has done for me. I was so lonely. I was so ashamed, so broken, so isolated. And God came and he talked to me in a way that I could understand him. I heard the gospel and it became good news to me. I received God. I failed 1,000 times. I would not have passed the solid Christian test for probably the first 2 years of my life. By the way, if somebody here is struggling with the Lord, keep on fighting. Keep on trying to serve the Lord. Because man, I was messing up bad when I first came to Christ. But God had really touched my heart. It was real for me, and God's power was started to work. And that's my story. What's your story? What has he done for you? What did he free you from? How real is he? Because brothers and sisters, we get to a certain point in our faith where we simply have to say what God has done for us. We have to share our story with other people. And if you want to be able to do that, you've got to learn these 7 things. Let me give you quickly 7 things that will help you to tell other people what God has done in your life. Number one, you have to have a faith. If you're going to share your faith, you have to have a faith. I know that sounds fairly obvious, but before you can share what God has done for you, it has to be real to you. It has to be authentic. I'm here to tell you that you can't share your parents' faith. And if you had a praying mom or a godly father, or you came from a godly place or a a culture where Jesus was worshiped or whatever it is, that isn't enough. That's not what changed your life. The only thing that can really change your life is a personal encounter with Jesus. So may I ask you, what has he done for you? And what have you, how have you responded to him? Is it real to you? Do you have a real faith? Is it a personal faith? It cannot be your praying grandmother's faith. I'm glad if you had a praying mom. As powerful as her prayers are, that is not enough for you. You have to know him. You say, well, my wife is, you know, she does the religion for us. I mean, I just kind of tag along. My wife, she's the spiritual one. That's not good enough. It has to be your faith. What has Jesus done for you? Grab hold of that and allow him to do things for you, and you'll have a testimony. You'll have a faith that you can share. Don't share with your friends out of a sense of obligation. Don't share because I'm asking you to share. Don't share because you feel guilty, because you feel, condemned if you don't share your faith. Don't share out of a religion, going door to door, knocking on doors because you hope one day you'll get to heaven. Don't share for any of those reasons. Share because it's real to you. Share what God has done for you because that's what's real to you. The second piece of this is get a burden. We need to ask God to give us a burden for the unchurched, for lost people. I watched on Netflix, you should watch it. I don't often recommend Netflix things, but I do watch it. Billy Graham's testimony, I think it's about an hour and 20 minutes. I wept probably from the third minute in, and I couldn't stop crying until it was over. And you know why? Because I saw in him such a passion, such a burden to reach people. And it was real to him, what Christ had done for him. And he was talking to the people. He shared the gospel with more people around the world than any other person that's ever lived. Think about that. What a great life. And why did he do it? Well, he got rich from it. No, he didn't. Well, he felt guilty. That's not why he shared. He shared because it was real and because he had a burden for souls. He talks to people about heaven because heaven is real. How many know heaven is real? And here's one that we don't often hear. Hell is real too. Do you have a burden? Is it urgent to you to share your faith with other people? Does it matter? Or do you think, well, we have lots of time? We don't have lots of time. Well, they'll probably come to Lord. They probably won't. Not unless we share. We need a burden for our friends. We need to care. Because heaven is real. It's a real place, and it's going to be amazing. But hell is also a reality. And we need to take as many people with us to heaven as we possibly can. Don't go to heaven by yourself. Take somebody with you. Hallelujah. Share your faith. Can I have an amen? Amen. I have a burden. This last week we had, Gateway, for those of you that don't know, Gateway is one church that meets right now in 5 cities, and we are dreaming and in discussions about city number 6 and city number 7. And we're one church that meets. So right now here, hundreds of us are here. There's hundreds of us watching online this morning, and that's just our San Jose campus. But then Santa Rosa, Modesto, which is where I was last Sunday, Clovis, Gilbert, Arizona. You would not believe how good they're doing in Gilbert. They are doing so good. We're 8 or 9 Sundays in after the grand opening. And there's well over 100 people involved in the Gilbert campus. People are coming to Christ. They're being baptized. We are baptizing 8 people at the end of the service today are going to be baptized. Somebody say hallelujah. So, the campuses are strong, but every quarter we bring them in. They come in from Arizona, Clovis, Santa Rosa, and we have an all-day meeting. And we talk about ministry, and we train, and we teach, and we talk about how to be good campus pastors. And we had the best meeting last Tuesday. It was so good. And the testimonies of the lives that are being changed and everything else. And I said, guys, can we believe for this coming weekend, Resurrection Sunday weekend, can we believe for 100 decisions for Christ? They said, absolutely, let's go for it. I said, get your intercessors, get your prayer warriors, and let's pray. And I said, when you preach on Resurrection Sunday morning, of course you're going to preach the gospel, but you make sure you give people a clear invitation to receive Christ. And you lead as many people that you can right to Jesus and let Jesus take over from there. And so we're believing on Resurrection Sunday morning, after all, I've lost track of how many services we're going to have starting Good Friday. And then in all of our locations, how many services that adds up to. But I'm believing for 100 hands. How many will believe with me? For 100, it could be more. You say, well, if you ask God for 100, what if it's only 76? What if it's only 76? But how many will believe for 100 with me? Because we have a passion and a burden for souls. We are in unity about why we're even doing this. Please believe me. One church in 5 locations, I have 5 times as many problems as I used to have. Why would I do that? Because I want 5 times as many problems? The reason we're doing that is for souls. Come on. We want to see people come to Jesus. That's what we're giving for. That's what we're singing for. That's what we're praying for. We're believing for. I'm glad you're here and we're having a great time and we're having a good, and we love each other and we love to be together, but we're also a church for those who aren't here yet. We're also a church for people that haven't heard yet. So we're going to do our best, our little short services, and we're going to preach the gospel and share and believe God for lives to change. You say, well, how can one service change? I don't know. I'm just going to lead them to Jesus. Don't get weird on me. I'm just going to lead them to Jesus, and he'll take it from there. We'll disciple. We'll do the best that we can, but we're going to see a harvest. Come on, let's get a burden for people. Can I have an amen this morning? Amen. Paul had a burden, Romans 9. My heart is filled. He talked about the Jewish people. He said, my heart is filled with unending grief for my people, my Jewish brothers and sisters. But I would be willing to be forever cursed. Talk about a burden. That's what Paul said. I would be willing to be forever cursed, cut off from Christ, if that would save them. Do you have a burden? Do I have a burden to see people come to Jesus? Lord, give us a burden. Give us a burden for the lost to be a part of what God would do in their lives. Let's hurry. Number 3, I only have 5 to go. I can do it. Tell your neighbor he can do it. Number 3, understand that it's not about your performance, it's about your experience. People often say, well, I don't know much about the Bible. How am I going to share my faith with other people? I probably will get the doctrine wrong. I'll probably say it wrong. It won't be balanced. I don't have a Bible school education. I don't know how I can do it. What if I mess up? It's not about your performance. Can I have an amen? It's about the experience that you've had in your life. Just share what Jesus has done for you. There's no way you can mess that up. And I promise you, whatever Jesus has done for you, you share it with somebody else, God will anoint that and it'll be powerful. Share your experience and don't worry about your performance. 1 John 4:16 says, we've come to know and believe the love that God has for us. You've come to know and believe the love that God has for you. Just share it with somebody else. Number 4, share any way you can. It always cracks me up when people say, who would I share with? I don't have it. I'm not a famous person. I don't have a platform. Who wants to hear what I have to say? Well, it's interesting. People around you know who you voted for. They know what kind of food you hate. They know which politicians annoy you. They know what kind of food you love. Come on. People know lots of things about you. Do they know what you feel about Jesus? Have you outed yourself as a follower of Jesus Christ? You've told everybody else every other opinion you have in your life. How about talking about Jesus? Come on. Do it any way you can. Use social media. Talk on the break time. When people ask you what you're doing this weekend, tell them, I'm going to church. You want to come? Let's go. Why should your mouth be closed while everybody else's mouth is open on every other subject? Come on. Are you hearing me today? Open your mouth and tell people what God has done for you. And just say to them, hey, I'm going to church. Let's go. Come with me. And I promise I'll behave. I'll be really good. And I'll try to help you lead them to Christ. Share your story, share the gospel, and share your joy. Number five, plant the seed. Water the seed and let God do the rest. You don't have to lead anybody to the Lord. That's not your job. You just share what you know and let Christ take over. Look at what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 3, 6, and 7. I planted the seed in your hearts. Apollos watered it, but it was God who what? Some people ask honest questions about our altar calls and how we lead people to Christ. And is it, you know, does it really work? How do we know that they're really getting saved? I don't know. I'm just leading them to Jesus. When a person prays, if they really mean it, God's going to do something in their life. All I'm doing is sowing the seed, planting the seed, and the Holy Spirit takes over and God gives the harvest. Can I have an amen here? So let's trust in God and let's sow the seed, plant the seed, pray over it, and believe God. Ecclesiastes 3:11, what if they don't want to hear it? Are they interested? I'm going to tell you something. I believe people are more interested in God's help than ever before. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, God has made everything beautiful in its own time. He has planted eternity into the human heart. What does that mean? I know atheists say, I'm an atheist. But if you get them privately, they'll say, I do have my doubts. I'm not totally sure. There's something spiritual about every single person. No matter what they say to you, God has created a place for himself in their heart. And if you'll simply share, that seed will go in and it could make all the difference in the world. Somebody told me after the first service, she handed a jar to her husband. She worked on it. Nothing happened. She couldn't get it open. She handed it to her husband, just like that. Have you ever had that experience? Sometimes you share your faith, nothing happens. And then the next person that shares their faith with that person that you were ministering to, they come to Jesus. Don't stop sharing your faith. Work on it and trust God for the difference. Plant and water the seeds. Next, number six, are you still with me? Almost done. Number six, put the focus on Jesus, not on yourself. Tell them about your church, tell them about yourself, but make sure that Jesus is the hero of the story. He's the hero of your story, isn't he? It's great to have a great church. It's great to be a great person, but keep the focus on Jesus. What Jesus has done makes all the difference. And number seven, be in it for the long haul. When you're sharing your faith with others, open your mouth and keep opening your mouth. And God will get them where they want them, where God wants them to be. Do you receive this morning? Now, before I pray for you, I just want to talk to you out of my heart. We're going into the biggest weekend of our church calendar. This Friday, does anybody know what this Friday is? Is it what? It's Good Friday. That's the day we remember that Jesus died on the cross. Then Resurrection Sunday is Sunday morning. That's the day we celebrate what? I gave you kind of a clue there, didn't I? Some people say, why don't you say Easter? I like saying Resurrection Sunday. Murder me. I like to say resurrection because that's what it's all about. It's resurrection. It's not about the Easter bunny and the rabbit. It's about Jesus rising from the dead. So, we're going to have how many services? I don't know. I lost track. 8, somebody said. And all our campuses, we're going to share the gospel. And I'm really praying because I have a burden. I really want to see, as I told you, I'm believing for 100 people. And I would like to ask you, would you help me? Would you help me by bringing people? Would you help me by sharing your faith? Would you help me by saying to people, let's go. Let's go to church. I already told you the story of my brother who was a dope dealer for many, many years. And somebody said to him on Resurrection Sunday, let's go. Let's go to church. He's the last person that should have gone to church. The last. And I sat next to him. And when the preacher asked everybody to bow their heads, everybody bowed their heads. And he said, now lift your hand if you want to receive Jesus. I was supposed to be closing my eyes, but I had one eye open. Because I wanted to see. And what did I see? My brother's hand went up. That was 35, 36 years ago. He still loves the Lord. You cannot talk to him about the Bible or prayer without him crying. He's a general contractor, big guy, and he cries when you talk about Jesus. Somebody said to him, let's go. And it changed his life. I was praying about it yesterday, and the Lord showed me a net. And he said, my people are the net. All our relationships, it's not this building. You're the net. And when you put the net in the water, you catch the fish, right? You guys are the net. All your friendships, your network of family members, you're the net. And we're going to just try to lead as many people to the Lord as we can, not just next Sunday, but just until I stop breathing, okay? Until they carry me off in a box, I'm going to be leading people to Jesus. Will you help me do it? Here's how you can help. First, this Wednesday, let's pray and fast. Have you ever fasted before? I'm going to be fasting. I'm fasting now. I'm fasting for souls. I'm praying. I'm saying, God, give us souls. If you would join me in fasting, maybe you can't do it all day. Maybe you just fast one meal. But I promise you, you will not die. You may wonder if you're going to die about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But by dinner, you'll eat. You'll be and pray with me. How many will pray on Wednesday at least? And then Good Friday is our Good Friday service. Bring somebody, bring your family, bring your friends. Let's be here. Pastor Jordan's going to share. It's going to be awesome. He's going to put the net out. And we're going to see if we can lead people to Christ. That's Good Friday. Then Saturday morning, we have a prayer meeting. I'm closing. I'm not going to hold you forever. I'm getting to the end here. But we're going to have a prayer meeting Saturday morning. The doors open at 6. We pray every Saturday morning. And you can come for any part of that or all of that or 20 minutes of it. But 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 7:30, 8 o'clock, come and join us for prayer. And we're going to pray for one thing. We're going to pray for souls. We're letting the net out. We're saying, God, give us souls. And then Sunday morning, 3 services, 8:30, 10, and 11:30. Which one are you going to? Bring somebody with you and let's believe. And Lord willing, a week from next Sunday, I'll be able to announce how many people gave their lives to the Lord. Fast with me, pray with me, and let's make this the greatest outreach we've ever had as a church. Will you do that? Bow your heads, everybody. Father, I thank you for this time in the Word. I thank you, Lord, that you're building a great net, not just in our city and not just in our church, but every church that loves you and takes the Great Commission seriously. Lord, let the net go out in these last days. And let us catch many fish. You said we'll be fishers of men. Help us to draw many people to Christ. I pray for people in this room that need Jesus, that are away from him. Would you make a change in their life, Lord, as they surrender, as they give up their past and give you their future? Would you take over and change their lives, I pray. Thank you for the 2 people that committed their lives to Christ in this morning's first service. I pray in this service or watching online, whoever needs Jesus, you say, I'm away from God. I don't have the assurance of salvation. I'm not sure if I died today, if I would go to heaven. And I desperately want to be saved. I need Jesus in my life. If that's you, I want to pray for you. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I would never embarrass you. But I do want to ask you if you'll lift your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. I need Jesus. Wherever you are, if you need Jesus, just lift your hand. Thank you, ma'am. If you need Jesus, just lift your hand. That's okay. You put it up. I see you, sir. There's three. There's four. Put it up. Put it up. Just say, pray for me, Pastor. I won't embarrass you. I promise you. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. You can put your hands down. Father, I thank you for over a dozen people and maybe more online or in the cafe. Lord, you see their heart. Lord, we're ready to turn away from our old lives. We're ready to give you everything. And I pray that you would fill these people who raised their hands with the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would do a miracle in their heart as they surrender completely to you. We were away from you, but today we're coming back to you. We didn't know you, but today we're saying we want to know you. And Lord, I pray that you would reveal yourself to each of them and change their lives forever. In Jesus' name. Everybody, just say this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I turn from my past. I turn toward you. Be my Lord and my Savior. I trust you, and I want to follow you from this day forward. I receive forgiveness. I receive Jesus. Thank you for saving me, Lord. Amen and amen and amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Thank you, Lord. I want to say to you, if you raise your hand, your next step is easy. There's a card that you heard about earlier in the service. It says, I've decided. I'd like you to fill that card out just as the service closes. Take that card and a pen and say, I've decided to follow Jesus. Your next step is to take that card to the lobby, the counter. Our team at the welcome counter has a gift. We want to give you a Bible. We want to get you started in your Christian faith. In a few moments, you'll see friends up here praying for people. If you need prayer, come on and receive prayer. If you need healing prayer, our team will be here. We are interested in your life, and we love you very much. Thank you for being here today. We're going to worship. We're going to bring our offerings, and then Pastor Chris is going to close the service. Sit tight just for a minute. Let's worship the Lord with our giving, and then Chris will bless us out. Thank you, everybody.
My desire is to love you. You're the light that'll guide me through the night. You are with me in the battle, bringing peace to the war inside my heart. I know your love's no limits in every space. Your love invades. You're calling me out, and I'm ready. Open up my eyes to see you, my mind to know you, my soul longs only for you. Let me hear your voice resounding, your words creating a brand new heart in me. Open up my eyes to see you, my mind to know you, my soul.
Amen. How many believe this is going to be a great week? Amen. Let's all stand up. We're going to close this and seal the deal this morning. And you know what? We started Reach Ministries several months ago, which is what everybody contributed towards last November. But what it's for was developing our social media outreach. And by the end of this week, we'll have well over 100,000 people looking at the Gateway video, inviting them to Resurrection Sunday at all of our campuses next week. So we just thank God for that. So let's be praying for that. Also, on the way out, everybody grab a handful of these invitation cards and pass these out to your neighbors, to those that you work with. And let's just believe God for every one of these seats to be filled here next week, and then we'll see the miracle of salvation take place. Amen. Hey, those 14 people that raised your hands, God bless you this morning for doing that. Hey, there's water baptisms right after your service today. And even though you don't have a towel to change of clothes, we encourage you to get baptized. You run around the parking lot, you'll dry off. It'll be a great, great day. But how many believe God's going to open some doors this week? Amen? Amen. Let's pray, Gateway. Let's pray. Father, Lord, you're setting the stage for miracles this week. People's hearts open up to you. We lift them up, and you said if we lift them up, you would draw. So right now, we're drawing, Lord, our neighbors, our friends, and lifting them up to you, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for divine connections this week. Lord, we just know people are hungry. They're hurting. They're looking for answers. And Lord, we're going to be their answer as we point them to you. So we speak that in Jesus' name this day, Lord God, that you equip us, you empower us, you give us courage, Lord God, to step into that area to release your grace. So bless every member of Gateway here, Lord. Our little ones this week's going to be blessed. And we bless you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen. God bless you. Come up and get prayer if you need to. Otherwise, we'll see you Friday night at the Good Friday service. God bless.